I still got plans that I never spoke. A lot of rhymes that I never wrote. You're
listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We are also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to your Facebook page, look up New Haven Independent, and sit see first.
How's it going, Joe? It's good to see
there
you.
There you go.
We got a little.
I got a little mixed up when I can't hear myself, bro. Oh, it really throws me off. I gotta tell you.
You gotta hit that button there.
I didn't know which one it was, but yeah.
It's good to see you, Joe.
Good to see you, Uncle Lo.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Harvest.
Harvest.
Still
man.
In the middle of harvest,
still
Uncle
in the middle
Lo.
Harvest, man. It's you know, we talk all things cannabis and we try to make sure to keep you filled in what's going on right now in cannabis in Connecticut. And hemp is cannabis in Connecticut
right now. Yes.
Yeah. So a couple dispensaries opening up, which we got to talk about last week. But we like to keep the updates on our hemp.
Well, hemp is what's going on right now.
Yeah. So we harvested another one of our plots. Still working through a lot of that stuff. Getting it up hanging. It's pretty cool. You know, set up a bunch of dehumidifiers and everything.
So there's
a whole bunch that goes into that mass drying. But really happy. You know, while we were harvesting one of the days, the farm stand was super active.
Oh, really?
Oh, super active.
Of course, right. Because it's harvest
it's
for veggies,
harvest
too.
For everything.
Right.
So there was music playing. It was a small harvest festival, just like I was, you know, truck going back and forth in front of everybody and everybody looking in. Wow.
And it smells.
Wow, it smells. You know, I did get to visit my parents over in Warwick yesterday.
Okay.
Drove out there real early. Let my kids see the, you know, family and everything. And my father goes, I said, let's go grab lunch. Start heading down to where the farms are down the road. And he goes, hey, take a right. I said, take a right. Take a right. No problem, Pop. Take a right. He goes, open your windows. And I did. This is an area that's called the Black Dirt region of New York, which is super prevalent for great onions. They have great onions. They have their black dirt.
I've heard of the black onions. The black dirt onions. Yes.
And it's a big thing. So we get down there, and I open the window, and I go, it has no onions. He goes, nope, they got another field in now. I said, they are growing hemp.
Wow.
And
black dirt hemp.
Black dirt hemp. I pull into the flower shop. Oh, we have 250 acres.
Wow. Well, New York's ahead of us, bro.
250 acres.
Of hemp.
Yeah. Rented out to all different people.
Subletted, right. Subdivided.
Yeah. Oh. And this is just the farm owner. He's like, I'm not growing any, but I subdivided to everybody.
Wow.
So.
It's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So it was pretty impressive. So we get out there, we start talking. I'm like, yeah, I've got, thanks. Have a great day. And nobody's complaining about the smell. Oh, no, nobody's complaining about the smell. You know, the city's invested into it and this and that. I got a phone call from another farmer in another portion of New York that said that he's having landlord issues because the city's complaining. The people in the town are complaining about the smell of his driving facility. So there's so many caveats that you have to deal with the areas you're in. Sometimes it's just a person. I've saw so many different small articles in local papers that have been shared throughout
about
hemp in certain communities, you know, in certain communities, in some communities, the neighbors are awesome with it and they see everything that's going on. Some communities, the neighbors aren't as great about it and they're calling the police during harvest.
Right.
You know,
because it smells. Yeah.
Because it smells. And then the police come out and they're like, well, there's not really, what are you doing to prevent it? Well, we're ionizing the air. We're doing filters. We do this, this, and this. You know, okay, well, they have a prevention plan in place and they're following it, so you just got to kind of deal with it.
Right, right.
But it could be a dairy. If there was a dairy in place of all these places, it'd smell like manure.
Milk, manure, right, or sour milk.
Yep, it'd be manure because now all these cows, they're waste.
Pooping, right.
Exactly, they're pooping. So now it's either the smell of the hemp or the smell of
manure. What smells better to you?
Right. It's what smells better to you. So I like I do not like the smell of manure.
I don't think most people do.
So I'm usually pretty good with the smell of hemp.
Me too. I would be much happier. I mean, I drove by AGL the other day. I don't know if the neighbors over there complained, but you could smell AGL.
Oh, yeah, you
from
can.
From the highway.
Yes, you can.
From the highway.
Yes, you can.
And that's all the time. That's not just during a harvest time,
you know,
or
what?
During...
The community does not complain.
No.
It's not something that comes up in the West Haven Town Hall meetings.
Mm-mm.
AGL is a viable member of their community there, and they're really not...
Right.
They're not making ways. People aren't making ways with it. They see that they fixed a bridge that heads over to them. You know, they're doing infrastructure. They're really updating things. Like, and it's such a quiet part of the community because there's no flashing lights or signs saying, we grow weed.
But neither is with the hemp.
Exactly. So
do you think that the publicity that, like you say, all these little articles, the governor going out, that it kind of causes these things to happen? Like even maybe some of the farms that got ripped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Oh, they're not putting exactly where the farms are, but they're putting the towns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And then now they're publicizing that these people got giant hemp farms on and they're showing pictures of it. And, you know, some people with the wrong ideas, like you say, want to complain or they want to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
It's always an uphill battle. When was cannabis not an uphill battle?
Right. And so it's a double-edged sword all the time. We want the publicity.
We
got to
get higher.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's all. Don't worry about it.
You know?
So,
but it's always been an uphill battle.
Yeah.
I say it a lot. We've had adversity.
Yeah.
We face adversity all the time.
In the cannabis industry.
In our cannabis community, in our cannabis industry. Like, we face it every day. The stigmas hit us. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, Latino, Chinese, whatever race, color,
creed. As long
as
you're a cannabis user.
If you're a cannabis user, you're going to get that stigma.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't go with that, you know.
Unless you're a celebrity cannabis user. Then
you get a different stigma.
It's
a different stigma.
Right, right.
Even cooler.
Yeah, cool stigma.
You know?
Yeah.
But then that doesn't matter if it's white, black, color, creed, race, you know? So it's that's more social standing.
Right, right.
Because of the cannabis community.
Yeah, exactly right.
We love the cannabis community.
We apparently the law enforcement doesn't. I don't know if you've seen the latest FBI report that weed arrests have risen for the third straight year in this country.
Really?
Yeah, and this is since legalization. So
see, it doesn't mean you're not going to get arrested if you don't follow the law.
Right, exactly right. And I'm wondering if legalization has even caused some of these issues for weed arrests, because they're also including, they're not just including people on the street. They're including large marijuana arrests. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, these numbers could be a little skewed because I know California went out on a big binge busting all kinds of growers and stuff. So they got like that weren't in the figures before. So, you know, we kind of got to look through the stats and find out how many of those were actually arrests of like what we would like to see.
Right.
The small arrests for people on the street for an ounce, half ounce, if that's gone down, or, you know, and it is the fact that they're busting more large people. Is that the reason why those statistics has gone up? And, you know, the funny thing is they don't really, separate the two. They just say marijuana related offenses. So that could go the you know, from money laundering to anything.
Oh, literally
marijuana
everything.
Related could mean
it could be everything.
All right, exactly.
You know, and it's crazy, and because that's you know,
but
the picking up of the, and this is, remember, arrest, not necessarily conviction.
Right, just arrest.
So
they could have been let go the same night.
Exactly. Case could be dropped. It could be anything like that. And those numbers are skewed.
This is a case where, you know, statistics are being used to put a certain spin on something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard an old saying, was it statistics don't lie. But liars use statistics. And it's true. You can take numbers and say, and, you know, add them up any way you want and say, oh, look, see, legalization has. And that's really what they're trying to get at.
Right.
These are the opponents. You know, oh, they see what legalization's done. It's made more marijuana arrests.
Right.
And, you know, but they don't quantify it. They don't tell you what kind of arrests those were. They don't tell you how many of them actually got convicted. you know, they leave out all the good parts, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's that way with everything. You know, we have a guest on today who is actually a representative of the Smoke-Free Alternatives Trade Association.
Right.
So he represents and works with people who are in the smoke-free, meaning, you know, nicotine right now, but I guess they've expanded into anything that is a smoke-free alternative. So they're taking on the whole vaping issue as well. And he's going to come on the air and kind of clarify this whole vaping thing that's going on, because I kind of want to put it all to rest. You know, it's been in the news for the last 2 weeks. Different states are reacting in different ways.
Right.
And, you know, you and I, we've discussed this on the air. We know why that, you know, all came into, you know, how that all came to be. And it's got, you know, it's really a specific type of vaping and a specific type of cartridge that is causing these issues.
It's the additives, you know what I mean? Because you can get that vitamin E accelerant, people are like, oh, it's okay.
Right.
And then actually text the cartridge, and it's like 12% THC and everything else is this
additive.
Horrible additive. You
right.
know? So that's why making sure talking to these people is a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to actually get to speak to him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even now, I think High Times was reporting that they found one of the companies that was doing it is this Dank cartridges is the possible, and this came out of High Times, as the possible culprit for this stuff. So it's just that people, you can go right into LA, and you can even go on Amazon, I found out. You can buy this packaging.
Just buy the packaging.
You can buy
it's horrible.
All pre-printed.
Yeah.
And make up your own cartridges.
Yeah.
With them. And make them look like they're branded, and people will buy them because you can sell them cheap enough if you add that vitamin E. Now, from what I hear, that vitamin E has been pulled
good
off the market
because it's horrible
and it's hard to get.
Good,
and it, well, I'm sure you know it was even branded as something called like Honeycut.
Really?
So it was being pushed to people who were cut. It wasn't like you would go to the pharmacy and go, hey, give me some vitamin E, and then you'd open up the capsules and put them in the vapes. You were being able to buy these jars, and it was called Honeycut, and it was specifically made to cut these vapes with. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a whole bootleg thing that they had actually branded and were selling in these, you know, like vape shops down in like downtown New York, you know, in downtown LA, and you could actually get it on Amazon for a short period of time.
Wow.
This
way to
is
go,
how,
Amazon.
This is how big this was.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're talking about, I don't know, they think they said like 1,000 people now have this illness or something
that.
Yeah, 1,000 people have it, and over 18 people have died from it.
Yes.
And it comes from these bootleg THC cartridges that are cut with Honeycut. People did this, I don't want to say purposely.
Oh, they totally did this purposely.
You know,
it was building the market. They were looking for a lot. It was the bootleg black market.
Right.
And that's what people also need to understand. If you have a regulated market, it's not about banning vapes.
Right.
Banning the vape doesn't do anything for you. Like, what it does is drive you back to the black market. And
or
now,
to cigarettes. If
yeah.
You're, if it's the nicotine vapes.
Well, because of this bank, because of these bans, farmers are planting tobacco again.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I'm not. Tobacco agriculture has started to ramp up.
Because they're figuring that people are going to go back to cigarettes?
The orders have gotten bigger, so they plant more. The farmers aren't making that decision. The buyers are making the decision.
Wow.
Hey, we'll
bring this
more.
Up. We're going to bring this up to our guests.
And they're in the they're harvesting the last little bit of tobacco on certain farms that I see, and that's part of being in the agricultural world, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you get to...
You know, tomatoes are a $30,000 crop, you know?
Right.
It's crazy.
Wow.
So tobacco is a $30,000 crop.
Even more, probably.
Yeah. Between broad and shade, broad tobacco is cheaper than shade tobacco.
Right. Shade is what they make the wraps out of?
The outside.
And broad is what they make
the
tobacco
inside,
that
yeah.
you smoke out of.
Yeah.
So now let me, I was going to, oh, now these people could probably make money extracting the nicotine too for these vape products, right?
It all depends who their regional buyers are, you know what I mean?
Right.
If they're growing for this or that or, you know, certain types of nicotine for tobacco, you know.
Right.
So it's ooh, baby, is it a industry?
So it's really changed this whole vaping thing, has, you know, they're targeting nicotine vapes.
Yes.
For something that the THC industry did.
Like, so let's be for real. This was a THC industry.
This is the
weed
industry that did this.
Yeah.
Let's be real. The black market, nonetheless.
Yep.
It is still the underground cannabis industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look. That is doing it. And the cannabis industry, what a lot of people don't know, put out a warning about these vapes long before.
Oh yes.
The mainstream media got
hold
of
this.
Long before this, I think I heard about it way back in June or even before that, about there was bootleg cartridges going around.
Yep. Don't get the bootleg ones
and don't buy them.
Yep.
And so we did put out a warning, and I saw it was through High Times and through various organizations, through Normal. And it warned people not to buy the bootleg vapes. So we were self-policing as much as we could, the industry itself.
And we do that often as an industry.
Right. We tried to do that. And obviously, there are still people, obviously, who may not be plugged into the cannabis industry. So we're, you know what I mean? That came through the industry. So if you weren't in the industry and you didn't spread the word out to the mainstream people didn't know about it.
Right.
And that was the thing. Then these people who are getting sick are just regular consumers who go to the bar, you know, or whatever, wherever they go to meet people and hang out. And the guy in the back who usually sells the weed says, "Hey, man, I got this new item, cartridges." And, you know, these are the same cartridges you get in the dispensary that they cost you $60.
Right.
I got them for $30, bro. Same thing. And then these, you know, this is just your normal average guy. This is not somebody in the cannabis industry, not somebody who would know any better.
Right.
And these are the people who are getting sick. You know, and it's really a shame now because, and this is what I want to bring up with this guy, how and why did they decide to include the entire vape, the entire act of vaping because for one outbreak? I mean, when you have an outbreak of something,
right,
it's obvious that
you do a recall.
There's a certain cause to it.
Yeah, you do a recall. You don't ban everything.
Right. Like when they have those lettuce recalls, right? E. coli, right? They don't ban every kind of lettuce.
At all.
They find out what kind of lettuce was causing it, what farm it came from.
That's right.
And then they even release that to the people.
Yep.
They tell, don't buy this lettuce from Shady Brook Farms.
Yep.
With the date on it, such and such and such. And they're very responsible.
Oh, yeah.
It. But
it's
now,
big. It's on the news and everything. Then now, this was bonkers to me.
And the same, I believe this is the same thing, because if it was caused by, but before our guest calls, you're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com/NewHavenIndependent. Or just go to your Facebook page and look us up. So
I love that Facebook page option, though.
Yeah. Because this is where we get a lot of our viewers, and we appreciate you guys who are all watching us on Facebook. And I think back getting to my point, it was, you know, these THC vapes, and they go after the entire...
like the entire industry.
Idea,
like,
of vaping.
Yeah, the whole idea.
Okay.
And on that note,
our guest is calling in. Hi, this is on the phone. We have Andrew O'Bright, and he is the head of the Connecticut chapter of SFATA, which is SFATA, Smoke-Free Alternative Trade Association. And you are also the owner and the president of Bright Consultants. How are you today,
hey,
Andrew?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hello.
Good, man. You got Joe and Lou here. And So we kind of, I don't know if you're listening, but we kind of opened up the discussion on the whole vaping thing. And
yeah, I didn't have a chance to listen in yet. Sorry, I've been...
All good. I'm sure you're busy.
Doing a lot this morning.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on in the industry that you're involved in. And so we kind of want to talk to you a little bit about this. So Ned Lamont last week came out with a very heartfelt message tell people, I'm sure you heard it, please, please stop vaping, you know, and it really sounded like it came from the heart, you know. Mm-hmm. And finally at the end, he did say, and most of all, stop vaping illegal, he didn't say THC, but illegal vaping products. And right. And we here, obviously on Cannabis Corner, we know the cause of this mm-hmm. vaping crisis. We have discussed it. We just discussed it. We even know there was a specific brand of cut that people were using. So we're very up on what this has caused it. But what we're discussing is kind of how did bunk THC vapes turn into an attack on the entire vaping industry? And when we kind of correlated with, like, when you have an E. coli outbreak, right? They don't mm-hmm. tell you to stop eating lettuce. They don't pull every mm-hmm. bit of lettuce off the shelf. What they do is they find the source, they find the farm, they pull that product off, and then they tell people, this, don't buy lettuce that came from Shady Brook Farms, you know, et cetera, on this date with this lot number on it. And they're very responsible about it and specific. So now when you have an outbreak like this, it is obvious that it is coming from a specific cause. Because it was caused by vaping in general, this would have shown up a long time ago, because vaping's been around a long time. This thing would have shown up. Right. When you have this many cases in this small amount of time, you know it's an outbreak of something. And I want to know, why hasn't the CDC and the media come out, and I know the CDC did finally, come out with the cause of this and just tell people, like they would do with an E. coli outbreak, don't buy bootleg vapes of this brand, and they've even identified the brand now, of this brand for this and this reason, because you will get sick, and this is what caused the outbreak. Why have they attacked an entire industry for something that they know damn well came from a different cause?
Well, that's a great question, and I think really the answer is unfortunately really easy. It's ignorance, right? Ignorance of the technology, ignorance of how the technology is applied, and so it's easy and also, you know, at the end of the day, sexy to have headlines that say vaping kills, right?
Right.
All these media outlets want to get the likes, get the clicks, get the engagement with viewers. So it's a double-edged sword here. I think number one, these journalists and investigative journalists and media personnel are humans, right? So they succumb to bias, and their bias is unfortunately against vapor products in general, because they don't know anything about it. It takes a couple minutes of research to figure out, you know, exactly what the industry is about and how the industry is has two parts to it. There's a technology part, which the cannabis industry uses, and, you know, let's be clear white market cannabis has nothing to do with any of this either.
Right.
You know, we often say THC and marijuana products, and I always hesitate to say that, because we know clear and white market does a great job. They're one of the most regulated industries in the country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the big thing is separating the technology from what's happening. The vapor is a technology in which you heat something, and then it turns into a vaporization.
Right.
What we're talking about when we usually talk about vapor products are nicotine replacement. And so that's the unfortunate part, right? Is now we have headlines saying don't use vapor products. We have governors and health officials saying don't use vapor products, and they don't distinguish. The FDA finally came out on Friday, like you said, and made a very pointed headline don't use illegal black market THC products.
Right.
And that's what we need to hear from every health official. At this point, anybody, any elected official, any health official that's saying anything other than don't use black market THC products is irresponsible. All the facts are out. Everything is out in the public. We have the Utah Department of Health that came out with their study last week showing that they collected 39 samples from ill patients. None of the nicotine products that they had been using were adulterated in any way, and their illegal black market cartridges were 100% adulterated.
Right.
Either they had pesticides or they had the, you know, the cutting agent, the vitamin E acetate.
Right.
So, you know, at this point, we have to start putting the pressure on everybody. Everybody needs to be responsible. Like you said, the CDC is extremely good at streamlining, you know, recalls.
Right.
And if this was a vapor product problem, every single vapor e-liquid on the market is actually registered with the FDA. All of their ingredient listings are with the FDA. If they honestly were to do their due diligence, they could issue a recall, no problem. If they thought that there was a nicotine-containing e-liquid on the market that was causing an issue, they could track that down in 10 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, I think...
As could the cannabis industry.
As far as that goes, too. Sorry.
As could the cannabis industry if it was legitimate products causing this.
Yep.
So I think the difference probably is that it's bootleg, you know, black market products. Mm-hmm. But my question is now, you and I and Lou, we've all heard about the CDC coming straight out and saying it's bad cannabis, you know, THC vapes.
Yep.
But I haven't seen much of that on the news. All I
Again,
see is
I
another death in
that,
Connecticut
that genius,
from
right?
vaping, the mysterious vaping illness. No, well, it's not a mystery anymore. The CDC came out and said it, but this doesn't make it to mainstream. Obviously, we read the publications. We're pretty plugged into the news, but not everybody is. So they're still right. proliferating this whole myth that every type of vaping is bad for you and that a flavor, and this is what gets me the most, is that a flavor... A flavor is what's going to kill you. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, we've seen different types of bans. What is Michigan and New York did just flavors. And then I think Washington did all vape products. Or did they do just flavors? Washington State.
Washington
or Oregon it was.
Did flavors. And then Utah did something different. They moved flavors to adult-only establishments, which is something that makes
a lot more sense. Right, right.
The big one that makes no sense.
Mass. I was getting to them last.
Massachusetts.
Well, that's just the one that affects us, our industry, the most.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe with the amount of money and regulation that your industry has gone through in Massachusetts,
right.
that they'd be so flippant to just take away, you know, what would you say, 40% of the business in Mass.
What would you say, Lou? How much, and you're in a rec and medical, how much percent of vape cartridges?
Joe, this devastated Massachusetts. You're looking
right.
at it. In the vape world, if you're in the vape community in Massachusetts, it was 100% of your market share.
Right. But
you know what I mean?
Right.
In the cannabis world, you're looking at 30% of your market share.
Yeah, 30%.
You know? And that's a big number.
That's a big number
you
of
know,
your market share.
That's big.
I mean, yeah. I saw the Curaleaf, which is big up there in Mass. Their stock dropped. It hit the floor because
of
it.
Oh, yeah. It really did. And because they were pushing vapes hard.
Yeah.
And they have a great mm-hmm. vape product.
They have an excellent yeah. vape product.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I think there's going to be a lot of repercussions on this because, like you say, they just legalized it. They regulate the hell out of that market. And for to include that,
and they
into
tax
that,
the hell out of it.
They tax.
I mean, what?
They're
going to
lose revenue.
That's
yeah.
right.
Taxation.
They're going to lose revenue, and they've put literally vape shops out of business. And there was people who were paying taxes, and they've taken a living away from people. There's no way a vape store can say, oh, we're going to close for 4 months and hope that the governor changes his mind and reopen. They or, have to close. You know,
and those were those ancillary pot shops, the head shops, our glass shops, our,
yep,
our counterculture shops that now relied on the vape portion as a segment to really pay their bills so that they could have some of those really nice high-end glass and high-end other products. And you got to kind of, you know, you have a star and you have a dog in the business model,
right?
You know, the star is that product that's low cost and just kind of keeps moving off the shelves,
and that's the vape,
and that's the vape, and the dog is mm-hmm. is the
high end
glass that you're only going to move one a month, and
yeah,
you know, and it's probably because it's the same guy who comes in every day to buy all his vape,
right? And you so now locally, even here in Connecticut, just the propaganda that they've been putting out in the media, they haven't done anything to vapes. They haven't banned a single thing. All they did was raise the age to 21.
Right.
Well, they did raise the age to 21.
Raise the age to 21.
And they did tax it.
Yeah, well, that happened earlier this year. Just
yeah.
And they did their usual, of course, we'll just tax it more. But, you know, right, they haven't done anything as far as a ban. But even, and you are in the industry, you know, you are representing these people. Mm-hmm. How much has business gone down in Connecticut just from the propaganda?
I mean, people that I talk to is anywhere. I mean, the super, super low end is 20% of sales have gone away.
Right.
But the majority is between 40 and 60% have dropped.
And
and so the scary part isn't, all right, so let's just take a look at it this way too. The scary part isn't lost business, right? I mean, unfortunately, that's bad. That affects business owners. That affects sales. It affects all of us, our livelihoods. But that being said, the scarier part of it is that 40 to 60% are not just people that stopped using vapor products.
Right.
The majority of those people, almost all of them, I'm sure, have gone back to smoking combustible tobacco. And that's a public health emergency, not a ban.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. The people don't understand. They're dealing with an addiction, a nicotine addiction, that people were dying from the method of inhaling it. And they found an alternative method to inhale it. And I, you know, this is just, you know, obviously, you know, because it affects that industry, the other industry, the tobacco industry, I think part of this is driven by them in a way. And I don't know what their interests are in it. Maybe you can clarify that a bit. But I did speak to a couple legislators.
So I hate to go down this rabbit hole a little bit. Only because I don't like talking in conspiracies and things of that nature.
Right.
But you can. I'll give you the facts. The facts are that these states owe tens of billions of dollars in tobacco tax revenue to establishments that they borrowed against. So there was something in the late 90s called the Master Settlement Agreement, where
right.
Tobacco companies came to an agreement with states where they said your constituents can no longer sue us for wrongful death or illness. In exchange, we will give you umpteen billion dollars a year.
Right.
And so what those states then therefore did was actually borrow against the MSA agreement because they have bills to pay and they'd rather pay them now than later. And instead of budgeting correctly, they borrowed against them and now they owe, you know, other companies tens of billions of dollars, and they're trying to figure out, scramble to gain this tax revenue back. So, I mean, that's part of it. And again, that's a little conspiracy. I'll take my tinfoil hat off now and
right.
say that's kind of all I'll say about that.
Well, yeah, and from my understanding, too, the tobacco industry has an issue with the flavors because in 2009, they tried to introduce flavored tobacco. They were shut down by the FDA. They're still a little butthurt about that because now there is a whole industry that has evolved revolving around flavors. And I personally just don't think they like it. You know, I think it cuts into their business, and it's just it doesn't make good business for them, even though they're all in the game. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that real quick. All three of the big major tobacco companies have their fingers in the game with these pod systems.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. One is Juul, one is Vuzay, and I think one is called Blu. And each one of them mm-hmm. is owned by R.J. Reynolds or Marlboro or Imperial, one of the three big tobacco companies. Mm-hmm. And they are pushing a pod system out there. They don't really do the other kind, which is the more open system where you actually pour the juice in. And this is where the mm-hmm. whole culture of it has evolved. And, you know, there is a whole culture around vaping, just as there's a cannabis culture. So what I'm trying to say is
they don't have. They definitely suffer in the face of the open vapor systems.
Right, and I think that's what they don't like.
The one advantage they have is that they're sitting next to the cigarettes that everybody is already smoking. So that's their advantage. Their disadvantage is those products are only as good as the user is uneducated.
Right.
So as soon as that user gets educated, they're going to move to an open vapor system, and you know they'll never see them again.
Right, and the big tobacco industry doesn't like that. I think, you know, in a way, they would like to see it where they control both sides of it. You know, they got you coming and going. You know, you can smoke tobacco, and when you try to quit, you can buy the cessation device from us as well. So you know, I think they would like to see that and all this. Proliferation of independent companies has hurt their business, and they know it, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. And like you say, it's interesting to see how these states that have imposed vapor bans owe a ton of money on that they borrowed against these payoffs that were going to happen from the tobacco industry. So in other words,
I mean, to put the tinfoil back on for a second, five of the top 10 states, as far as income from the master settlement agreement, five of the top 10 have imposed these bans of some sort. So a little interesting tidbit for you.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Well, I always suspected something too, and it's really a shame. And I think it's up to us in both industries to educate.
I think this needs to be a double, you know, we need to get together on this.
Of course.
The marijuana industry in Mass needs to be a lot louder than they are right now.
They're pretty loud right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're mad. Right. Yeah, they're mad.
I have my rose-colored glasses on because I only watch the vape community. But we need to work together. There's absolutely no reason right now that we shouldn't be working together. It's bad publicity for both. Not just bad publicity, but now, you know, bad sales.
Oh, yeah, because CBD is legal in stores, and it's affected the CBD's vape sales.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, and CBD is now available in the typical vape juice, which is, there is a difference, and I think people need to know the difference between a nicotine vape juice and the THC vape cartridges basically is the carrier.
Right.
So
it's the carrier method.
Yeah, the carrier. So the THC cartridges that are out there now are supposed to be pure THC distillate with no carriers in them whatsoever. They used to have PG and VG in them, but the industry standard has now to just put pure distillate in there. And that's why that vitamin E works so well as a cut, because it mimics what pure THC distillate, the same viscosity, the same color. It looks just like it and mixes well with it. The difference, and that's how they were able to bootleg this and hurt people, you know, with the vitamin E acetate. The difference is the carrier. Now, with nicotine, you do have a carrier. It's nicotine extract. Am I correct?
Nicotine can be carried either by PG or VG. It does have a base solution of either PG or VG.
Right, and most of them use both. But there haven't been any issues. Nobody's proven that, you know, and this is the whole thing. Nobody's proven in 15 years of vaping that anything has, you know, gone, you know, is bad for you in this. So until they do, it's been, you know, shown as safe. And that's how it is. Innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
Right. So.
And I think the big thing that we always need to keep in perspective is. I think 100% safe it might be something that's irresponsible to say necessarily. It's not safe. It's all about harm reduction.
Right.
And we're talking about tobacco, combustible tobacco that kills 480,000 Americans a year.
Right.
So what we need to make sure that we say is, you know, by all peer-reviewed science, this is 95% safer.
Right.
The Royal College of Physicians, and I think that's something. Could we touch on that for a second?
Yeah. Though?
We have to look to other places. You know, politicians like to say we aren't the UK, but our lungs and our anatomy and biology are all the same across the entire world.
Right.
And the fact is the UK promotes this as a government, as a smoking cessation and a harm reduction device. So, you know, we have in the UK, they've gone as far as to have vape shops inside of hospitals.
Right.
They believe in this technology so greatly. And let's remember what the UK has that we don't. They have socialized medicine. Whether you like it or not, and I'm not taking a side on this, whether you like it or not, their government has a stock in healthy people.
Right.
So they don't want to lose money on sick and ill tobacco smokers. They would rather keep the money and have healthy constituents.
Right.
So that's something that we just need to take into consideration here. They love saying that we're not the UK, and they have, you know, they have a lot lower teen use than we do, and there's a reason for it, because they're not promoting it as something that's adult only, and, you know, they're promoting it as a smoking cessation device, and that's it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think maybe that is another reason why vaping in the U.S. gets a bad rap. It's because some people see it as recreational. You know, I hate to say that, but some people do see it as recreational. And I mean, from an outside perspective, you know, they see these guys blowing the big clouds. They see a vaping convention. You know, there is a whole culture behind it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I think that's what confuses people.
And it's exactly the same as cannabis,
right? Yes, yeah, so exactly.
There's a culture of people who are using it recreationally, and that's fine.
That's fine.
But what you need to really hit
it's
home
almost
with
like
is,
the same
this
as
is,
yeah.
Same medicinal.
Right.
At the end of the day, this is something that's about reducing harm in people's lives, whether it's, you know, opioid addiction or, you know, whatever the
tobacco addiction, right
for you guys, you know.
No, you're right. It's the same thing. There are recreational users and they have a certain culture, and then there's a whole medical community that is really using this to heal themselves.
A big harm reduction. Yeah. That's one of those terms that we just keep saying over and over because that's what it is. As a personal, I don't smoke cigarettes. I didn't smoke cigarettes. I don't vape. But my wife did, you know. So when we started, my wife smoked cigarettes, and that wasn't a very pleasant or, you know, it's not something you want to have. And as you move forward, we had children. And for the harm reduction and for the reduction in the use of the smokable combustible cigarette and really to kind of bring that to a healthier option, she uses the vaping to
right. To my brother
forward.
Too.
Yeah.
My you brother's know,
so
on
it's
the vape.
It's about that harm reduction.
Yeah. My brother's on the vape, and it's made his family life better. He's healthier from it. I'm sure your wife is healthier from
exactly.
it. Andrew, you say you had quit after 11 years of being a smoker.
For 11 years, and I haven't had a cigarette in over 5 years now. I work out. In fact, part of the reason I was running a little late, I work out at the gym 3 to 4 days a week, an hour a day.
Right.
You know,
couldn't
I never
do that with cigs.
I was a smoker. Sat on the couch and did nothing.
And it's the same with vaping. Even the medical industry with the THC, a lot of people can't take the flower anymore. And a lot of the medical patients can only take the vape because they're dealing with lung issues, and the vape actually helps their lungs dilate and open up. And now you live in Mass, a state which has a huge medical program, a huge recreational, and you're taking medicine away from people by putting this blanket ban on. And I don't think people understand that. And you, like you say, a lot of people do use this recreational as far as this nicotine, but they also use it as a cessation device. And now you've taken that away from that whole segment of people, and they have no other choice but to either eat lozenges or, you know, the patches or go back to smoking. And that's a travesty.
And something, well, so two things I just want to hit on for a second. So just so everybody's aware, the recreational part in the nicotine vapor industry is less than 1%.
Right.
I know it's a lot higher in the cannabis space, and that's fine. I'm just saying, just to make that clarification, the recreational use isn't quite the same as the cannabis industry. But the second part of that is just that, you know, the smoker needs to be aware. This is sending people back to smoking, and that's the biggest travesty there can be. And the New England Journal of Medicine says they had peer-reviewed science just this past year that vaping is twice as effective as any other NRT available on the market.
Right.
So, you know, that hand to mouth is a big part of getting away from combustible tobacco. And this is why we need to have this available.
Right.
Widely available for people to make the switch.
And these are, we're talking about adults, and we didn't even get into the whole kid factor. But we have the same issue in the cannabis industry. It's all about the kids. We're talking about an adult habit. What do the kids have to do with anything? The kids are going to do what they do. I was smoking cigarettes at 13 years old. Nobody was going to freaking stop
me. Exactly.
So, yep. I mean, seriously.
Yep.
So if they want to get a hold of it, they're going to get a hold of it. But on that note, I wanted to just let you plug what you got going on. How does people get a hold of anybody who wants to get into the nicotine industry? How do they get a hold of Safata? And how do they get a hold of Bright Consultants real quick if they're interested?
Safata, safata.org, S-F-A-T-A.org. You can visit the website. You can make donations. If you can make donations to the Connecticut chapter, that'd be great. We could use it right now, obviously.
Right.
And then my business is Bright Consultants. You can find me on Facebook at Bright Consultants. I have a website, brightconsult.com. And yeah, I mean, if anybody ever has any questions, please reach out. You can, will you post my information up on the website?
Yep.
Okay. So you can find it there.
I'll put it up on Facebook.
And yeah, if anybody ever has any questions, absolutely please reach out. I always have time to answer questions for people.
Okay, great. And thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very enlightening conversation. I think we educated a lot of people on a lot of things, and that's what we're here for. So thank you very much, Andrew.
I appreciate you guys covering it. It's really a breath of fresh air.
Oh, that's literally. We'll see you later, Andrew. Take care.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sir.
All right. So that was a very good interview.
That was awesome.
I was enlightened on that. And you know, it was, you know, we did cover both. And I want our listeners to know that, you know, the difference between nicotine and the THC vaping and you know, all that, how it's affected the entire industry and how the two do need to work together.
Yes, sir.
You know? So anyway, as far as what's going on this week, Uncle Lou.
It's a good week.
Yeah, next week we got the Connecticut Normal Meeting going on the 16th, and that's at the Cellar in Hamden.
Mm-hmm. And I love that place.
I love that place because now, guess what the Cellar is doing?
What's the Cellar doing?
Selling CBD coffee from Go-Go Joe's.
Look at that,
John. Yes, by the cup and by the bag.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's my actual first restaurant client. I want to thank Pete over at the Cellar for taking a chance and bringing in the Go-Go Joe's coffee and actually, you know, serving it over there. It's really, really appreciated, much appreciated. So if you want to try the Go-Go Joe's coffee, it will be served at the Cellar, and hopefully that's one of many coffee shops that will take the chance and carry some CBD coffee in the future.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sir.
So that was a nice thing. So that is on the 16th, and if you want to try the coffee, you can come to the normal meeting, and that's at 7 o'clock at the Cellar.
And it's a great place to hang out, grab a drink, grab some food.
They got great food over there.
Great food.
Great menu over
there. Great food. Full soda list, so you don't got to worry about that.
And Pete's really stepping it up with the events. He's got a lot of cool bands play there, so check them out on Facebook and see what else they got going on. On the 17th, down at the Grove, we got a little event called Yoga, Tea, and CBD.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of an educational event. We're going to have yoga. We have a nice yoga instructor named Savannah. She's going to come down, and we're going to do some yoga. We're going to do some Reiki, a little meditation, and then I'm going to do a little presentation on CBD, and we're going to drink tea.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, CBD tea. It's going to be fun, and that's at the Grove on the 17th. That starts at 6 o'clock. And then at the end of the month, this comes from the Connecticut Hemp Industry Association, there is actually a Connecticut Hemp Harvest Fest.
That's right.
And that is going on at Killingworth, and that's at Running Brook Farms. I know you know them, and you probably are associated with their
Mummy River Co-op. Yep. We're all part of the team.
Yep. So that is going to be at Running Brook Farms in Killingworth, and that runs from 10 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and I have been informed that Go-Go Joe's will also be bringing coffee there to serve for breakfast for the people up there. So I'm going to be having coffee. I'm going to bring the coffee, and I'll probably bring a few bags to sell, too.
Nice.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's made with hemp CBD, and it is sourced locally.
That's right.
Both the CBD and the coffee.
We're going to be up there. We're going to be doing great things.
Lou, you're going to bring some of your hemp up there?
We're going to bring a little bit of everything. It's through the Connecticut Hemp Industry Association, and I am part of the board of directors.
So you definitely
will
be there.
So I will be there. I will be working it out. I'll be...
So that's the 27th, right?
Yeah.
The end of the month. The harvest is over. People are coming here to show what they've harvested. That's what a harvest festival is.
Yeah.
People bring little fruits of their harvest, and everybody shares it and has a good time. Just like a pumpkin harvest, just like any old harvest with any farmers would do. That's and it's right. a wonderful thing. I think it's great. So anything else, Uncle Lou?
I am pretty excited to say that a lot of awesome things have been happening. I've got, we're doing the Hemp Builders Association Summit in Idaho.
We're talking about Idaho.
Coming up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Tomorrow is a Pennsylvania Hemp Summit. So
nice.
We're take a ride down there maybe. Really, really excited to continue expanding the idea and the conversation with hemp. And
people are going
to
be looking for some products coming out of Uncle Lou's farm.
That's what we're looking for. So there'll be full products, white labels. We can help everybody with a little bit of everything.
Right. So great. So. And as far as this week, Canna Health is open in Milford from 11 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need your recertification, come on down to the Grove in Milford and get research.
Great place. Yep. I get my certification through Canna Health, so you can everybody go ahead and do your thing.
Yep. And we also have New Haven and Hartford if you're interested. Yep. And I believe they're open Saturdays.
Yep. And then what else do we have? Last minute thingy things there, Joe.
No, I can't think of anything else. The normal meeting, the yoga event, we got, and the hemp harvest, I think, are really where we'd love to get a lot of people out there.
Yeah,
right?
the hemp harvest festival will be awesome. If you can get out there, that's going to be an awesome, awesome time.
Right.
It is free.
Yep.
So you go out 10 to 3 free. There's an after party if you'd like to, an after celebration with some music. And, you know, that I think that's going to be like $10 or $15, but that includes
that's
a
okay.
band. And it's an after thing. It's not the festival itself. That's just a secondary event, which would be awesome. And it's a lot of fun. And we're going
to
have a great time. I will be out there. I'm going to bring some ham, some items, maybe some food, some regular, you know, we tried it with everything we got on the farm. I got a couple cases of crushed tomatoes.
I'll bring some coffee. We'll have a good time.
It's going to be an amazing time.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. All right. So, people, we will see you next week. Thanks for a great show. Remember to check us out on Facebook, Cannabis Corner. And
follow Joe on Facebook.
Follow Lou. Follow us
all. And you
can
follow me on Instagram and Twitter.
Go, go, Joes.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
All righty. Take care.
Before I take another toe, I used to wish that I was here now. Smooth selling on my own boat. About to jump up on another plane. Right before I take another toe, I always knew that I'd be here now. Standing on his own two. A move I make is real humble.
Hustle.
That's exactly what a man do. You playing games and you only get one turn. So I'm moving on a low two. In the game, roll a whole gram up. In the backwood, no, you got row two.